yourself before the Lord, a living and holy sacrifice unto him. See, this is instruction to the church in how they should live. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, he begins, 13 and 14, he begins to talk about, what is this kingdom? What is this spirit that we live? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Spirit, he knows everywhere he's went. His life experience has taught him that these people argue about food. Most recently because of meats that are sacrificed to idols. And not everybody wants to swing over that direction because he specifically talks about it in the Corinth letters, in the Galatian letters. What are the things that create righteousness in your spirit? It's spiritual. What creates faith in your spirit is the Word of God. These things that are outwardly circumcision. Paul explains many times to many churches, circumcision is not where it's at. If you want to circumcise your children, you go ahead. The circumcision and the revelation for it was the circumcision of the heart, putting off the flesh. And this is how we have to live our life. We put off the flesh and we begin to live according to the Spirit. Isn't that the most important thing in our life? I can tell the difference between someone who's walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit, and I know you all are old enough to know that too. Well, they're having a moment of flesh. Just give them a second. And we all have done that. We all have a moment of flesh in our life. Now, hopefully, as we get older, it becomes less. What are the things that trip your trigger, and what are the things that are... Ride with me in the car, and I'll show you. Just saying. But you see, I want to be better than that. I can be better than that. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of me. I can speak a blessing. I used to ride with Marcy. She would be driving in Columbia. This is really kind of funny. And somebody would like run a red light or stop sign. It's just like, bless you. She would say, bless you. You know, because you have to be careful in Columbia. She's stopped at stop signs or red lights, and a bandit would come out with a gun. So you have to be very careful in foreign countries in these kinds. Alan's well aware. You have to be careful when you go out into the bush to go to the bathroom because there might be a snake out there. You go to New York City, there might be a snake out there too. You go around the corner, amen, you know. But here, this is a matter of fact. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He talks about food, and he puts it in his very specific, you know, he wasn't giving us dietary or nutritional advice, to be honest with you. But is dietary and nutrition important for you? Well, you'll find out if you ignore it. If you continue to ignore that in your life, your body will come back, and it will, hey, I'm in here, and I need this. You know, I need this. And if you're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit, or you're not following certain basic rules and guidelines, staying away from sugar. They didn't have that kind of sugar back then. Stay away. You think that Coke and a cake is good? Maybe not. You're going to bend over the next day and find out you have joints. Whatever. You know, I'm not the guy to talk to about that kind of stuff. You're going to find out when they ache and they pain and you can hardly get down and do anything, or you can't put your socks on anymore. And you wonder why. You know, these are the kinds of things that, is that important to your life? Well, do you want to live long or not? Well, I trust in God. I trust in the hope. I pray over my chocolate cake before I, well, go ahead. Please, pray over your chocolate cake when you eat it. But when your body comes and it says, what did you just do to me? Okay, there's no condemnation in my heart regarding these matters. But what I did emphasize last week was, what is it that matters in our walk? What is it that really matters? That chocolate cake didn't help my love walk, and it didn't take it away. My love walk is my love walk, and that's what he's covering in these subjects, that we shouldn't judge one another regarding these issues, because if it affects your love walk, there's going to be a problem. It's going to affect you as you move through life. Let's try to get into this now. Now, those of us who are, and he compares that, sorry to stop in the middle of my sentence there, he compares that to strong faith and weak faith. Those who eat meat, strong faith. That's what he says. But is it about strong faith? You know, the word doesn't say strengthen your faith by eating a side of beef. You know, that's not how faith comes to you. But come on, back here in this day, look at how these people, very superstitious, far more than you ever thought you were, superstitious in this day. Things sacrificed to idols. Paul says, I know that I could eat anything. Well, he didn't have McDonald's back then, but I'm just saying, you know, this is what Paul is saying. I'm confident that whatever I eat, I bless it, and I do it as unto the Lord. That's how he lived his life. Everything he did was as unto the Lord. And that was the solution to chapter 13 and 14. Now we who are strong ought to bear, he's continuing this thought, strong and weak, bear the weakness of those who are without strength. This is what we should be doing. Not just to please ourselves. You're not the strong to just to say, yay, I'm strong. If you're strong, help somebody who's not. See, that's how we engage with one another. Help somebody who's not. Now, here's how I help you. This is not how I help you. You're a weakling. That's not how to get help from somebody. Come alongside them and show them how to be strong. Show them how to walk and live this life. This is, if you're mature, then show people how to be mature. We're not criticizing chapter 13 and 14. We're not criticizing one another. We're not judging one another. If you have strength and power and authority, Paul says it's to build you up and not to tear you down. If you have any at all, when people begin to criticize and tear down somebody, they're not strong. No way. There's no strength in there. They're critical. I don't call that strong. I call that critical. So moving forward, I'm trying to get into it. Honestly, I am. Not just to please yourself. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. This was Paul's final instruction to the Romans. And he's going to blend it all into his deep doctrinal teachings of righteousness and faith and all the things that he spoke about in Romans that are so very, very, very important. Keep reading Romans for the rest of your life. You'll constantly, it will open up new things for you. For even Christ, he reverts back to an attitude, a place where Paul was at. Even Christ himself, look at this, did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. We have all reproached the Lord. Humanity has reproached the Lord through the sin of Adam and the disobedience that we've had. But those reproaches fell on Christ at the cross. All of them. All of them. For whatever was written in earlier times, oh, there's a nod to the Old Testament. Well, that's all Paul had to work with back then, you see. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions. You have heard this before in other letters. Didn't Paul write this again to Timothy? Is written for our instruction so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures. See, how do we persevere and how do we receive encouragement? Oh, I want to encourage somebody. Well, what are you going to say to them? I want to tell them my testimony. Well, that's not bad. There's a testimony, but at the end of the day, it's the encouragement of the scriptures that is going to lift them up out of their weakness. Lift them up out of the mire. Yes, encourage them. Your testimony is what God has done for you. Jesus told the madman of Gadara when he cast the devils out of him, go and tell them what the Lord has, how good the Lord has been to you. He didn't know any scriptures. He was just, I'm going to tell you about a man I met. I was down there taking a bath. Probably not. But I came up and he's walking around the graves, you know, and here comes this man. And the demons in him saw that man and knew who he was, and he ran down. And he was, whatever he was doing, see, people have to call him a madman of Gadara for a reason. He was screaming at him, probably cursing at him. That's what devils will do. They'll curse at you. You know, they'll haunt you and they'll bother you. There was a woman doing that in the days of Paul when he was preaching and teaching, and a woman was disturbing them. And after 3 days, it's like, I've had enough of this woman. It's annoying me. Cast the devil. The servants of the Most High God have come. He had enough of it. But we have to have a discerning of spirit. We have to know where that spirit comes from. Perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The hope comes from the perseverance and the encouragement comes from scriptures, which is why I know it can be a habit. You get a habit of doing something, a habit of prayer. Keep praying until it's a habit. I can't do without it anymore. Brushing your teeth, I'm not sure that's even a habit. I'm sneaking up on 70. I do it because I have to. So I have to talk to people. And if I'd pay more attention, I'd have more teeth. I'm just saying. Where does it come from? At the end of the day, you know, you brush your teeth, you take care of yourself, you floss, whatever the dentist says. Whatever a nutritional doctor says to you, "Doc, I can hardly walk anymore." Well, what have you been eating? What have you been eating? You know, tell me your story. And he can outline a plan for you to get away from that. Get off that road. You took the wrong exit, dude. You took the Dunkin' Donuts exit. You shouldn't have done that. You know, just saying. This is what happens to us as human beings. And I believe in healing. I believe in healing. And I also see a lot of instances where men step into troubles in their life. And God allows it to play out in their life. And they suffer for it. This is not the suffering of Christ. This is the suffering of being the dummy. Right? This is still spiritual. This is still spiritual things. You have to realize that things in the natural world affect the natural world. They affect the natural world. This body is in the natural world. It's not going to go before the Lord and meet him in the natural world. This body is never going to see him. It's your spirit, man. That man, inward man, that man that feeds on the word of God and not on natural things, that's the man that's going to appear before Christ. Are you taking care of him? I want to talk about that more. Am I taking care of that guy inside there? Am I building up his faith by feeding him the word of God? This is how we grow. Let's try to move on if we can, please. So that with one accord, now may the God who, God gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you, this is a prayer. This just comes out of Paul. To be of the same mind with one accord, according to Jesus Christ. So that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. His final instructions and thought to this church in Rome, these churches in Rome, was to glorify God by coming together with one voice, one heart before the Lord. This is what we're doing. Now, if you want to focus on other things, Paul's not saying focus on other things. He's saying focus on this. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, has given instruction to a church that has never seen his face. But Paul knows about him. He hears stories. Therefore, I know you know, you love that word, right? Therefore, because I said all these things, accept one another. Now, what in the world does that mean? Surely, I accept you. Paul, I accept you. Paul, Phil, I accept you. You're in Christ. I accept you. How hard can that be? I'm not judging your life. I do this, I do that. I don't care. You know, it doesn't affect me. I'm going to keep praying for you. But it does affect you. And if you're weak, I'm weak. So stand up. Get up. You know. Stop praying. Stand up. Forward march. That's what Brother Amos said. That was the word of the apostle to this church, to be honest with you. The apostle of God who has started hundreds of churches, is in charge of hundreds of churches and dozens of ministries, in a sense all over the world, but all over his side of the world. In India, his church is in India as well. Amazing man of God. be of the same mind. And it says here in verse 6, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God of our Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. See, if God received glory for what Jesus did, and he accepted us for what Jesus did, brought the glory of God to the scene. So if I accept you, Alan, God is glorified by that. If I can say the opposite, if I don't accept Alan, is God glorified in it? No, he's not. We have to accept one another. I don't know, is that pretty plain? Because God is glorified in this. It can get darker, but I'm not going to go there because I'm only trying to teach Romans here. For I say that Christ became the servant. Pay attention here. There's an insight here. Christ became a servant to the circumcision. Who was the circumcision? Easy question. Children of Abraham, right? Abraham was the one that got the covenant of circumcision. We run back to Genesis and check it out, right? Here again, I don't want you to miss this because Paul includes this when he writes other letters. This is a spiritual thought. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was promises given. Circumcision was part of the covenant. That's how you connected with God, through the shedding of that blood in the circumcision, taking away that foreskin, the circumcision. I'm not a medical guy, so get that. I'm not a nutrition guy, so forget that. I'm not going to give you deep insights into that stuff. But that was important to God. This circumcision was important to God. Taking away this outward stony heart and revealing the spiritual man that's in there, that had no, there was no way. Because no way you could please God. There was no hope for you. But God gives you hope through promises. These are great and precious promises that he gave us. So let me go a little farther. They were promises given to the fathers, and this is important. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. He has a reason for writing this. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercies. It was because of the promises the Jews will be saved. It's because of the mercies you will be saved. God's great mercies that have come to you and has knocked on your door. And you say, yes, Lord. I receive your mercy. I receive you giving Jesus Christ for me as an exchange so that I could live in your presence. I know God loves me. I know he wants me. He's drawn me close to him because of Jesus Christ, because of his desire, because of his love, if you don't mind. I don't want to keep hammering on this topic of love, but nevertheless, God so loved the world that he gave. This was his whole entire motive of these things. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercies, that is as written. So he's bringing the scriptures in. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles. I will sing to your name. Here again, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people for his mercy. Rejoice with his people. And again, praise the Lord, you Gentiles, and let all peoples praise him. That's good? Yeah, okay. You should use that this morning. Thank you, Alan. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come a root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. These were all the great and precious promises of God. And God wasn't just thinking about Abraham when he came and visited him, and Abraham sought the Lord. I mean, I'm a believer that Abraham actually sought the living God. That's how I think if you just wander around and do your own thing and you ignore spiritual things, Abraham was a spiritual man. You have to understand, some people were so caught up in the natural, they cannot shed natural thinking. But all the Bible talks about a natural world and a spiritual world, and Abraham had his eyes on that spiritual world. He had no idea what it looked like. He just knew something wasn't right. Something's not right here in the flesh, and you got that right. I mean, look around us today. Something is not right in this flesh, in this fleshly world. There is a spiritual world. Let me keep going. Now, may the God of hope, he's winding down his letter. That's where we're at here. There's only one more chapter. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a tremendous statement, a tremendous statement. That you'll be filled with joy. Well, joy of the Lord came in me when I was saved. You need to be filled with joy. The inflection here of being filled is a constancy. You know, because you'll be puzzled. You'll get to the book of Acts and you'll see that the Spirit of the Lord came into the room and they were filled again like they were in the beginning. You can be filled again. Thank God for his filling today. He's filling you today. You might even give some out today, which, praise God, you get the opportunity to give the Spirit of Christ in you out to someone else. He'll fill you tomorrow. He's the never-ending well and supply. That's what he is to you. Watch, verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, and Paul knows about them. He knows about the Roman church. I myself also am convinced you yourself are full of goodness. Paul knows they're full of goodness, and he's never been there. They're full of goodness, filled with the knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Our church is that way. I understand. We had a wonderful meeting yesterday with Brother Dan and his wife Kathy and Donna, and we got to sit here. We got to talk about things, and we were talking about Pastor Bill passing, graduating, going to be with the Lord. So what has he done in you? And there were some testimonies of how we honor him in his memory by receiving the Spirit and the Lord has given through him. We honored his memory in those kinds of things and talked about, well, how has it affected your life, and how has it affected your life, and how has it affected your life? See Sister Donna if you weren't here and you want to hear those meetings, that she has the files that she can send you very, very easily. That's all you have to do is click on it and it'll start playing. It'd be awesome for you to hear the different, everything was recorded, everything everybody said was recorded. And so to me it was a very blessed time. But see, they were able. He's convinced that this church in Rome, without him even visiting them, he was not the hinge pin. Paul was not the hinge pin that changed the world when he went to Rome. It's the Spirit of Christ. He said, you're able. You're filled with knowledge. Brother Dan said, I come here to a church like this, and we're very unusual. Dale said it. Bob said it. We're a very unusual congregation to be losing an elder, you know, like Pastor Bill. It's very unusual. Now, what do you bring to the table? Are you going to bring somebody fresh out of seminary to the table and bring him in here to do things and change things? This is a difficult body to fill those shoes. I'm not saying somebody needs to be some super spiritual superman, but definitely know you're called to this and know what you're walking into. I always have respected the men of God who have come here and respected that we're not all babies. Thank you for that. Men of God, whoever's listening to my voice, thank you for not treating us like little children, because we're not. This is an unusual body. There's maturity here. There's wisdom here. There's knowledge here. There's understanding here. And it was imparted to us by the Spirit of grace through our pastor, who has gone home to be with the Lord. So we're not children. So we're not supposed to act like children. were bickering and fighting. You know, go sit and watch the playground. Go up to the playground. Sit there and watch. You know, we're not to act like children. So let's move forward here a little bit farther. You're filled with knowledge. You're able to admonish. That's an interesting word, admonish. If I was doing a word study, I'm able to bring it to your attention, to your mind. See, in order for me to admonish, there has to be some kind of spiritual maturity or connection that we have in our relationships. When you talk about family, we're the family of God. Not sure. We're all going to have our idea of what that means to be a family of God. But a true family of God can admonish one another and not be offended with one another. This is just a mark of maturity. If it's not there, don't kid yourself. You're just deceiving yourself if you can't think. Now, admonish doesn't lean towards this idea of, Paul, I'm judging you. No, I'm encouraging you. Sometimes we'll do things wrong. Are we mature enough to come to one another and say, I prefer it be done this way? I always wait on that myself. You know, I'd like to run ahead and do things. You know, some different ideas that were floating around yesterday at the meeting. I have the skill set, to be honest with you. It's not a boast. It's just I'm saying I have the skill set to create things. My wife has a skill set to create things and to make things happen. But I put it out of my mind. I'm available if you would like to do this. I'll put it on the table. I always told the band, the worship team, if you come with a song, you come with a musical idea, you come with a different rhythm pattern or chord structure, and you lay it on the table, and I kick it off the table, and I say that won't work, you're not allowed to get offended. Do not get offended with that. It's a musical idea, it's a musical thought. And it might seem good to you, doesn't work in my mind. It's okay. And the creative process can't work unless we're able to admonish one another and speak to one another in love and understand. Now, that's not me telling you how to raise your kids. I'm not telling you how to raise your kids. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this maturity that Paul's talking about, that we can come together and admonish one another. Verse 15, but I've written to you boldly to you on some points. There's a lot of points, to be honest with you. So as to remind you again, I'm going to remind you of this, the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. When I finally get there, Romans, when I finally see you face to face, I want you to understand who you're facing. You're facing a mature minister of the gospel who has proven on the mission field that he does what he does, and he does it by the grace of God within him. So Pastor Bill always encouraged us to receive someone in the grace of God that they have. So you don't like the color of their hair or the length of it. Put aside for now, receive the grace of God because they have words in their mouth and in their spirit that they want to give us. And guess what? We can still learn. Y'all aren't too old. You can still learn from the Spirit of God, and it's going to be good for you. I've written to you boldly. There's a grace within me. So verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering to the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's going to offer them up. Paul's constantly offering them up to God and praying for them and lifting them up for their sanctification, for their holiness, for they to be filled with faith, for their eyes to be open and enlightened to know the hope of their calling. This is Paul. All this stuff is bubbling and stirring on the inside of him. And after a few more years passes, maybe 10 years, he'll write his incredible book of the Ephesians that is high above this book in its insights and revelation of who Christ is, the head. This is what he'll speak later. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. He talks about boasting in 2 Corinthians, you know. And yes, it is a tied thought. It's a place where he was living in his life in this moment. This is why this revelation comes out in this book as well as in that book. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. He has a reason why he can boast. Look at what Christ has accomplished. He's going to say later on here, there's no other places for me to go. I'm going to Spain. And on my way to Spain, I know I said this before, I just want you to remember it's all connected thoughts. On my way to Spain, I want to see you. It says, for this reason, I'm boasting in things pertaining to Christ, for I will not presume to speak of anything what Christ has except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting, well, after all his work, what happened after all his work? Resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed. Galatians, you know, he went to the Galatian church, the Philippian church, Thessalonica, Berea. He went to all these various churches and he was successful that the word of God was planted in those places and brought them to the obedience of Christ. Obedience to have Christ living on the inside of them. Verse 19, in the power of signs and wonders. See, you can't do this on your own. You can't witness on your own. You can't have a relationship on your own. It all comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have learned over the eons of time, if it can be screwed up, I will do it. If I can mess up this marriage, it's easy. Messing up a marriage is easy. Just walk in the flesh. You'll destroy it every time. But walk in the Spirit and walk in the love of God. Love never fails. It never fails. So we have to know that love never fails. The love God had for humanity never failed. It brought me to him. It brought you to him. Love never fails. Signs and wonders in the power of the Spirit so that, listen, from Jerusalem, round about, see, he is not in Jerusalem yet, but he's going to tell you. Don't lose your place here in time and history. From Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel, and thus I aspire to preach the gospel. These are the keys to understanding Romans. Not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But it is written, they who had news, this is what guided Paul in his life. They who had no news of him shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, it's for this reason. For this reason, I've been preventing from coming to you, Romans. That's who he's talking to. But now, with no further praise for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, many years he's wanted to go to Rome, but he didn't. What was preventing him? The gospel's already there. There's too much work to do right here where I'm at. He's going to continue that work, and then when he did his work and he completed his work and there was no other place for him to go, he says, he doesn't say I'm going to Rome per se. He says, I'm going to Spain. That's what he says. And on my way to Spain, I want to stop by and see you guys because I heard so many great things about you. And I'm coming to Rome. And it says, from serving the saints, he's going to serve the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution to the poor among Jerusalem. You find that in the book of Acts. He sent his servants up to collect money. I know, should we say that from the pulpit? Money. Like it's a bad word. He went to collect offerings for Jerusalem for the people. There was drought. There was the poor. They were oppressed. The leaders that they had there in Judea, it was unbelievable, the oppression that they were under. We would not understand it unless you study that history of time. But here's Paul sending a contribution to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so. He writes about this in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. He also writes about this in Philippi, how they gave beyond their measure, and how Philippi was a church who had given once and time again to his need and ministered to him. If you read carefully in the book of Acts, you will see Paul was working as a tent maker. You remember that place where he's struggling with his hands and he's paying for everybody that's around him. And he meets Priscilla and Aquila there, and they were tent makers just like he was. But when the brethren came down from Macedonia, he didn't have to work anymore because he had money now. They brought an offering to him. Of course, he's going to write to 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, when I was among you, I robbed other churches so that I could serve here. That's what he was talking about. The offerings that were supposed to go down to Jerusalem, he had to use some of it to pay his room and board and to buy food for his peoples. If you get the heart of Paul, now if you don't buy that, I'm okay with it. Just keep reading it. You'll see how the dots connect. He says here, they were pleased to do so, and they're indebted to them. What do you mean they're indebted to them? For the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things. The Apostle Paul writes these things in 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. This is where you'll see these things. There's an exchange. It reminded me of the woman. I won't go into that. Let me just try to finish this. Another story. These things just pop up in my spirit. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they were indebted to them, for the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, in the spiritual things of the Jews that has trickled down to the Gentiles, and they're indebted to give to them natural things, to bless them, to help them. You know, sometimes, I thank you for praying to me, but sometimes I just need money. Thank you for praying to me, but sometimes, you know, pray for Alan when he goes to Tanzania, but sometimes he just needs to pay for his ticket. So this is the last day for you to give. And that was a shameless plug, by the way, because your investment into this ministry of missions, shameless plug, I'm not ashamed of those things. This investment that we make into missions, God will flood upon you a blessing that you cannot contain. Now, let's not give to get doctrine. You give because of love and because of a willing heart. And God gives back to you because he loves you. And he's seen that willing heart. And it says he's pleased with a cheerful giver. He's pleased with you. Let me finish. Therefore, when I finish this and I've put my seal on this fruit of theirs, the Macedonian churches, when I put my seal on it, Paul was saying, this is good. I will go on my way to you to Spain. This is where Paul was going. He wasn't going to Rome. He was going through Rome to go to Spain because he's mission-minded, you see. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now I urge you, brethren, I'm urging you, I'm coaxing you, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of God, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together. That is no implication in striving, in no saying the word striving, of struggling together. The implication of striving here is to walk together, work together, live together, be a family together, and continue in the work of the ministry, because we all have a role to play. Let's move forward and finish. That I may rescue those who are disobedient from Judea, and there was plenty, and he's going to run into them. He hasn't even gotten to Philip's house yet. When Paul gets to Philip's house is when he meets Agabus, and Agabus ties him up with his own girdle. You see, and he says, the man who wears this girdle is going to be in prison. He's saying, oh, well, there's a whole story there, if you don't mind. Paul didn't care about that. That my service for Jerusalem will prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. This, when you come into this house, you should find refreshing rest. The word of the Lord is going to come to you. Worship is going to come to you. Opportunity to fellowship in the word is going to come to you. There should be. If you're annoyed from your time here, meet me at the front door. I'll talk to you. I want to know what annoyed you. I want to know what's going on in your spirit, and you couldn't hear the word and be released from that burden today. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. We're moving forward, and we're almost done, Romans. God is good. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness to us. We thank you that you care for those people. You love a cheerful giver, Father, and we thank you for giving to us. We thank you for filling us. You give seed to the sower that we might sow and we might be a help to the work of the ministry. We bless one another, Father. We thank you for the continuing word of God that comes forth from us, from the word, from the pulpit richly, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.